Welcome to Taiwan Brief, a deeper dive into issues impacting Taiwan. I'm Donovan Smith in Taichung, Taiwan. All right, I've been a little bit quiet recently. Unfortunately, I've been working 80 to 90 hours a week, which has impacted the situation a little bit. However, that will end at the end of March, so things will hopefully get back to normal then. All right, so let's get right into the program. Now, some polling, especially that by the Taiwanese Public Opinion Foundation, has shown that the Taiwan People's Party is close to or even occasionally surpassing the KMT. In October of last year, the TPOF poll showed the TPP pulling ahead of the KMT and dropping a little behind again, and then in the most recent poll released in February, showing the TPP at 16.2% ahead of the KMT's 15%. So once again, the TPP is on top, according to the TPOF. This has led to considerable speculation that the TPP could replace the KMT as the main opposition party to the dominant DPP. The reasoning goes that the KMT has made itself so out of touch and unpopular with an ideology and stances such as on One China and the 92 Consensus that a more publicly supported Taiwan-centric party is needed to counterbalance the DPP to maintain a functioning multi-party democracy. That reasoning sounds good in theory, but in practice, making a successful political party is a lot more than doing well in the polls, and it is here that the TPP faces massive challenges. The TPP doesn't have the resources, the expertise, the networks, and the experienced politicians necessary to mount an effective ground game able to topple the KMT at any scale. At least, not yet. Now consider this. The DPP, in spite of existing for over 35 years, has yet to catch up to the KMT on the local level. At the lowest level of government, the borough and village chiefs, or the Li Zhang in urban areas and the Cun Zhang in rural areas, that identify with a party, they're overwhelmingly still KMT or independent. Those grassroots networks build the support necessary to launch a run for special municipality or county council seats. And again, the KMT totally dominates city and county councils. Following the last local elections in 2018, the KMT won 19 of the council speakerships. Independents, often KMT-friendly, won 2, and the DPP won only 1 council speakership, Jiayi County. If the DPP is unable to win the majority of council seats in pan-green strongholds like Kaohsiung and Pingtung, what hope does the TPP have? The TPP knows this coming up on this year's local elections, and so far has only been nominating candidates to contest a minority of seats. They will probably get some wins, but usually they are winning a handful here or there, or as in Zhanghua County, they manage to get an existing independent councillor to join their party. While they aren't likely to be a major player in councils nationwide after this year's local elections, every win they do secure is the launch of a potential future political star. So every win is precious to the fledgling party. Some of the TPP's nominations have already come under fire and been widely mocked online, including McDonald's Goddess, who, by the way, initially gained fame online for being an attractive-looking worker at the fast food chain. And candidates also can be convicted of drunk driving, assault, and what is translated as offenses against abandonment. Now, the party is already talking about ways to handle these cases, but it isn't a good look. The highest level positions up for grabs this year are the special municipality mayorships and county commissioner positions. At this level, the DPP and KMT have been more evenly matched, with the DPP scoring a majority in 2014 and the KMT a majority in 2018. By targeting a wider audience less tied to the neighborhood level, Mayor and commissioner candidates can do better than council candidates with ad budgets and media exposure. But local networks and connections still matter. With few TPP candidates yet nominated, it is hard to predict their chances, but many will likely run into the same problems as the relatively unknown Wei Cheng in the 2020 Kaohsiung by-election, who only garnered a little over 4% of the vote for the TPP. Well, the TPP does have some potentially serious candidates worth watching in this year's elections. One is Taipei Deputy Mayor Wang Shanshan, who in hypothetical matchups for Taipei Mayor is doing respectably. Polling shows her in the upper teens to low 20s. Though at this point, Huang seems a long shot for winning Taipei Mayor, she is very much in a position to influence the race, or even play the spoiler. This has alarmed the KMT, and party chair Eric Zhu, or Zhu Liluan, among others, has called for a KMT-TPP alliance, most likely with an eye on Taipei. There's another show coming up where we'll talk more about that. Another one to watch is TPP legislator Ang Gao, or Gao Hong'an, who many think will be a strong candidate for Hsinchu City Mayor. She is currently evaluating the possibility. The TPP is likely to only make modest gains in this year's local elections, but in the 2024 national elections, they could be a more significant player. This is where they have a small but not totally insignificant chance to overtake the KMT. By far the best chance the TPP would have in the national elections is if there were mass defections from other parties into their ranks. This would most likely come from the light blue or more moderate end of the KMT spectrum, if it were to happen. And considering how fractured the KMT is internally at this point, it isn't inconceivable, especially if a hardline, deep blue figure were to take over as KMT party chair, of which there is a distinct possibility. The TPP has already attracted defectors from other parties, including both the KMT and DPP, but they've tended to come more from the KMT and the Small People's First Party. If they can entice experienced politicians with name recognition and existing networks, that could provide a significant boost to the party. I want to bring up a side note here. Back in the 2000s, when the new party launched, they actually did quite well in legislative elections. And then, after the independent run by James Song, or Song Zuyu, for president in 2000, which he lost, but he came in second, he founded the People's First Party, which at one point had a significant chunk of the legislature and were actually more popular than the KMT for a while. However, there's a big difference between before and after the year 2005. In 2005, the way that candidates are elected to the legislature shifted significantly. Before 2005, you had multi-member districts, which meant that you didn't have to be the top vote getter in a district. That meant that you could be second or third down the list, which often happened in the case of the People's First Party, the New Party, and also the Taiwan Solidarity Union. That meant that they had a much higher chance of getting into the legislature. After 2005, it was first past the post, which favored both the DPP and the KMT significantly. That changed the game. Before 2005, the PFP, the NP, and the TSU had a significant presence in the legislature. Then the KMT and DPP came together and changed the rules. Ever since then, small parties have struggled. So keep that in mind. Even if they can't poach significant numbers of key players from the KMT and PFP, Wang Shanshan, by the way, from the PFP, they still could be a notable player here in 2024. It would remain tough to overtake the KMT in total number of legislators, as I just explained, but they could potentially beat them in one key segment that would be psychologically devastating to the KMT, the party list. Under this post-2005 rules, the 113-seat legislative yuan has three types of legislators. 73 seats voted in by first past the post by constituents in electoral districts, 6 indigenous seats, and 34 party list seats apportioned by the proportion of the national vote that voters give by party. Without the extensive networks and experience the KMT has, and barring defections, the TPP will be in an uphill battle in the constituency districts and with the indigenous voters. But in the last two elections, both New Power Party and independent lawmakers were elected by first past the post. So picking up some seats there is still a possibility, as much as it is harder after 2005. They will also have to contend with the DPP, which has dominated both of the last two elections, winning majorities both times. However, if the TPP does indeed overtake the KMT in popularity, while they still don't yet have the troops to battle them on the ground, they could beat them in the party list. This is one way where their poll numbers surpass the KMT's, and this could very well translate into more party list seats because the vote is simply by party preference alone. Though it remains an outside chance, if the KMT is squeezed enough by the DPP at one side and the TPP on the other, it is still theoretically possible the TPP could close in on significantly or even challenge the KMT in the legislature. It is the defections and the internal dysfunction on the side of the KMT that bears the closest watching, however, especially if Eric Ju or Ju Liluan is replaced by a more hardline party chair. And as I mentioned, there's another show coming up on that. Soon to be term limited out Taipei mayor and TPP party chair Kuwenza has already declared that if polling gives him a 20% or higher approval rating, he intends to run for president in 2024. The most recent TVBS poll has him at 48% and third most popular in the country, with other polls generally ranking him in the top five most popular politicians in the country. Also, TVBS just released a hypothetical matchup between William Lai, Ho Yui, and Ke. Ke came in third with about 22%, so that's still respectable. But to win the presidency, Ke has a lot of work to do. He will need to clearly formulate a policy on relations with China that is acceptable to the public at large and work on his propensity for exasperated and impatient comments to the press. In the 2020 national elections, the official TPP China policy was effectively to copy-paste the DPP's, which under President Tsai Ing-wen has come to dominate the center of Taiwanese public opinion. Ke himself, however, has staked out positions that appear to be roughly in the middle between the KMT's deeply unpopular stance and the DPP's. For example, with his two sides of the straight are one family stance. Now, he portrays himself, by the way, as a centrist, but I refer to it as Taipei centrist, a position between the KMT and the DPP in Taipei, which is a deep blue city, that comes across as more centrist up there. Down here, it comes across as light blue. It is a long shot that Ke would win the presidency. No, it's not impossible. That's not the only reason, however, for him to run. The high profile and media coverage that comes with a presidential run brings attention to the party, and by extension, the legislative slate, which could boost their chances of success. Which is, by the way, why James Song of the PFP keeps running, even though he knows he has no hope of winning. The TPP has only been in existence since 2019, and it remains both somewhat ideologically unformed and in flux as to its position in the political spectrum. While the party is making strides on clarifying their role and carving out a distinct image, to date, their greatest asset remains the KMT's dysfunction and inability to function fundamentally make itself a party popular with a broad electorate. Ultimately, the TPP's fate may rest within the KMT. All right, that's it for today's program. Tune in next time.
This has been brought to you by the Taiwan Report. For more content like this, become our patron at report.tw.
台湾狗啦，最喜欢我的台湾狗了。